Let us stand up with your Bibles, and then we take a text, and then we pray and sit down. Let's open Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. I read it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. My Father, my God, we are going into the depth of your salvation plan. The book of Revelation that you gave to your servant. We are privileged to have that revelation in this age. Come, Heavenly Father, and grant us understanding as you bring to us this day the spirit of revelation. We commit this series to you, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Be seated. Like I promised, we're going to take a study of the book of Revelation. We'll take them chapter by chapter. If possible, verse by verse. It's so important. Amen. You will not see any writing of this book anyhow in the bookshelves, in the bookshops. No. And this book has been there, and all those so-called leaders of the Christian faith today, all over the world, you will not see them go that area. Those of them that are known for holiness, they stay with holiness scriptures, without which you cannot see God. It's scriptural. Those of them for prosperity, they have combed everywhere. But there is nothing in the book of Revelation for prosperity, so they won't go that side. Amen. Hallelujah. Also, those who are into deliverance, of course, those ones, they don't even know Bible. So they don't even read the Bible. Amen. And I saw what the devil can do when you step away from the Bible. Amen. Listen. Now, I'm not just talking to, I'm talking to the whole world. And all the people that don't know God, people don't know that Apostle Paul spoke earlier that there is another spirit. And they call it Holy Ghost, but it is not the Holy Ghost of that brought this Bible. And that there is another Jesus. The fact that you say Jesus, something happened, does not mean you are calling Jesus Christ of Nazareth that died on the cross of Calvary. And something will happen because there are some demons that their name is Jesus. There's another Jesus. And there's another gospel. And any gospel that does not take you to the cross of Jesus Christ is another gospel. And so, church, a lot of things happening in Christendom. Thought that you will understand. Matthew 24, verse 24. The false prophets, the false anointing, it will be so close. It will be so close. He said that if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. The reason why it is not possible is because the elect, they are the wise ones. And only the wise shall understand. Wisdom, hallelujah, comes by the spirit of revelation. Revelation is synonymous to wisdom. Praise the Lord. And so, people are just sitting down there expecting the rapture. the coming of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, he says, said it in the Gospels. Those who heard him, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, saw it. They wrote it down. The coming of the Lord. Apostle Paul himself saw it. The coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. And so a lot of people end their revelation in the knowledge he's coming, but how is he going to come? Or before he comes, things that will happen to enable you to know which side to belong in the confusion that will be taking place. Not many people know it. God reserved it and took John to the island of Patmos. Praise the Lord. And this is around the Asia Minor, around the western part of Turkey, western Turkey. So that you understand why there's trouble around that area. So much trouble around that area. There's something about that area. That was a Christian place. Until Islam came in there, clear everywhere, and they are planning to take over the whole world. But it's too late. It's not possible. Praise the Lord. Satan is planning it. He has an agenda. The wise shall understand. Don't you notice suddenly what is happening in the Middle East? Look at the millions that are going as refugees, migrants, moving. Who are they? They are moving to Europe, where it is an offense to have more than one wife. So the Europeans, one family, if you have plenty, you have three children. Abby? Then people are coming in. They don't know Satan has a 20-year, 30-year agenda. They are all going there. And very soon, people are going that one can have six wives. One can have 10 wives. And Satan designed that gospel for them so that they will multiply by number and take over the place. Watch and see. If the Lord tarries in another 20, 30 years, you will not hear Christianity anymore in Europe. Everywhere will be Islam. Watch and see. Satanic agenda. He also had his agenda for the church. And so God allowed in AD 96 for this apostle who was already about 90 years old to be taken there. Amen. See the way he put it. Amen. Watch the introduction. He says, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So actually, the revelation that this book of Revelation, amen, the revelation, I don't know if you understand that language. It is not the revelation of John. Eh? It's not John that received the revelation. It was Jesus Christ that received the revelation from God the Father. Let me read it for you again. Amen. The revelation of Jesus Christ. And sometimes I have heard preachers, especially in the entire message, that says that this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is a book that reveals who Jesus Christ is. That is not the meaning, oh. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. God gave to Jesus a revelation to show unto his servants. God gave revelation to his son Jesus to show to his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he, Jesus, now, who received the revelation, sent and signified it by his own angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed. Oh, I love that verse. Blessed is he that readeth. For reading it tonight, you are blessed. And they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. Why? For the time is at hand. That is the end. It's at hand. John, amen, to the seven churches which are in Asia. And that is around Turkey, western part of Turkey. 7 churches. Particularly 7 churches. We shall come to that shortly. He's greeting them. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. And from the 7 spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, the Jews, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail. That is the unbelievers who rejected him because of him. Even so, amen. And that spirit says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Take note. Sometimes, particularly Pastor Thomas and the rest of us who teach, listen very well. That sometimes, because we have so much confidence on some preachers, we tend to just repeat what they say. But when you come down and begin to dissect that same verse they are interpreting, you may see that you did not need to repeat what they are saying, because sometimes they too are repeating from somewhere. And I used to think that this revelation, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, said the Lord, because he said which is and which was and which is to come. Therefore, the person that is speaking is the Lord Jesus. No, sir, it is not the Lord Jesus. Why? Verse 4. 3 greetings from 3 groups here. 3 groups here. The first one, he says, grace be unto you and grace and peace from him. Number 1, which is and which was and which is to come. 1, greeting from him. The second one is, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne. So, if and that throne is the throne of the Father. So that now he which is and which was and which is to come is the same he who has 7 spirits before his throne. Therefore, who is the first greeting from? The first greeting, amen, is from the Almighty Father himself. Then the second greeting comes from the 7 spirits which are before his throne. And the third one says, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Praise the Lord. Now verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God. That was the reason he went. When he said he went for the word of God, amen, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, we have also interpreted it that he was in the island of Patmos so that he will receive a revelation. No, that is not the reason. What he's saying here is that he was in the Isle of Patmos. What is the island of Patmos for? Is it a place kept for the receipt of the word of God? No. It is a place where criminals are banished and sent there to go and die with wild animals. So, it was because he stood for the word of God and because he was testifying of who Jesus Christ is. For this reason, they were punishing him and they sent him to the Isle of Patmos. Praise God. That is why he was there. If you have ever heard me preach and I said something different, let this be the correction. Because sometimes, it is now that I say I will take it line by line, because this book of Revelation, even as preached by William Branham, I read it last in 1990. And I thought it was still in my spirit, repeating all that we hear from pastors everywhere. But now that I am going to stand for the whole world to listen to me and I will be challenged, I therefore sat down prayerfully, took time to study it again, verse by verse, line by line. Prayerfully. Verse 10. He said, I was in the spirit on the last day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Amen. Take note. I told you we will look at it verse by verse. So, praise God. But it's very interesting if you can catch it. Because if you catch this introductory part, then you are in line to understand the other chapters. If you miss the understanding of chapter 1, you will also mumble up the others. So it's important. Watch what he said. Verse 10. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. When was he in the spirit? He was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And this is what, generally, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. What they say is that, including Raymond Jackson, who is a respected preacher, who God himself told me in 1995 in a revelation that night that I should follow the teachings of this man and I will hit the revival I'm looking for. Where I was in my former church and I was confused about so many things, about interpretation of so many things concerning the end time message. That is how I got to know him and I followed his teaching. He died 2004, but God used him to line me up in so many revelations, and I thank God for that man's ministry. But I am not follow to that level. I disagree with Raymond Jackson in his exposition that John was transported to the day of the Lord. That is, the Spirit took him to the day of the Lord. There is the day of the Lord. It's the day of God's vengeance. Severally mentioned in the Old and the New Testament, when Christ will be coming, not for the rapture, but will be coming to judge the earth and events that will take place. And that John is telling us here that he was transported in the spirit to that day to see what will happen within that period. But I quickly say, but there are other things that he saw that was not relevant to the day of the Lord. The seven church ages revelation, the seven seals, revelation, has nothing to do with the day of the Lord like that. A part of it. The horse riders finished riding before the day of the Lord. And he saw the four horse riders. I use that as an example. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He saw the rapture. John saw the rapture. So, what is it? This is my understanding. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. What is the Lord's day? The Lord's day is different from the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord's day is the day that the disciples, by tradition, marked. It is the day that Christ resurrected. And he resurrected on the first day of the week. And it is Sunday. And my brother I called earlier in the morning was trying to argue with me that it is the Romans that gave us this day, Sunday, for worship. I said, no, it's not the Romans. Look at it scripturally. So many, at least I know about three places in the Gospels, first day of the week, when you come together for the collection and things like that. Now, already Christians, we are gathering on the first day of the week, being Sunday. Not because it is Sunday. Not because it is the first day of the week. But because it is the day that Christ resurrected. If Christ had resurrected on Tuesday, they would have been meeting every Tuesday. Why? Because if Christ did not resurrect, then salvation would not have been accomplished. It's not just his death. It is his resurrection. If he had died without resurrecting, then he would have died like other religious leaders died. Hallelujah. And so, Apostle Paul said, if Christ did not resurrect, then what are we preaching? Why are we risking if there is no hope of resurrection? And how did we get the hope of resurrection? It is Christ resurrecting that gave us the hope. That if the Spirit that raised him up from the dead dwell in us, we too will be quickened by that same Spirit that dwell in us. Grave could not hold him captive, but the Spirit that dwell in him, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so that became the tradition of the Christians. And when the Roman Constantine, we know the history, that decided by the revelation he saw what transpired to embrace Christianity. Remember that they embraced Christianity and added their pagan worship to it. But whatever it is, they already made Christians meeting on Sundays. So they decided to make that day a holiday to enable Christians, which they claim they are now, to worship their God. And that's why we tell the Sabbatarians that Sunday is not a replacement of Saturday. Jesus is a replacement of Saturday. You didn't catch it. I said Jesus is the replacement of Sabbath. He is our rest. He came to fulfill the Sabbath. Oh, praise the Lord. So it simply means that John, in his tradition of first day of the week, where he worshiped God, even though he was in the island, that first day he was there worshiping his God as their tradition was, and suddenly he was caught up. Suddenly he was caught up. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then he had a voice behind him. A great voice. Like a trumpet sounding. Praise the Lord. Verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, what did he see? He saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the middle of that, seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Hallelujah. And there is a picture of it that, I don't know if we can see that on the screen, that depicts what John saw. Praise the Lord. And when I saw him, you can look at it on the screen. You see, while it is there, let me read it again. He said, I'm being told, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the middle of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Oh, praise the Lord. He had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp 2-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. You can't see that and be normal. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Before I continue, let me go back to verse 4. The 7 spirits. Praise the Lord. What are those 7 spirits? Now I'm aware that Oyakhilome wrote a book that he titled The 7 Spirits. 7 Spirits of God. Amen. And what I saw in that book is far from the apocalypse. Revelation comes from the Greek word apocalypse. And it means unveiling. Something that has been closed. To unveil it is from the word apocalypse in Greek. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So take note that when he speaks about the 7 spirits, what are they? They are the attributes of God. God's attributes that will manifest throughout the period of the 7 church ages. And that last week, the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. And they are shown variously in this book of Revelation as 1, 7 stars in the right hand of the high priest and the judge, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I will come to the candlesticks. 7 lamps, they are those 7 spirits. They are also what is depicted as 7 lamps burning on the candlesticks. They are also revealed as 7 seals on the sealed book. They are also revealed as the 7 horns. They are also revealed as the 7 eyes on the lamb. They are also revealed as the 7 thunders with the mighty angel. Those 7 spirits are also referred to as the 7 trumpets sounding after the rapture has taken place. And also finally, those 7 spirits also represent the 7 vials of God, of God's wrath, that is poured out just as the day of the Lord is ushered in. So what is the 7 spirits? They are the 7 moves of God. 7 several ways he will move. Amen. God does not have 7 spirits. He is 1 spirit. And please take note that the book of Revelation, hallelujah, the book of Revelation is not a book for everybody. 2 important books, I've said this before. Hallelujah. Genesis and the book of Revelation. Genesis is the beginning of Satan. The beginning of Satan. How Satan entered mankind. The book of Revelation shows how he will end. And if you notice, The average denominational Christian does not know how Satan entered the world. They ate apple. Because the revelation is not for them. And how it will end, they don't know. Even the rapture, they don't know how it will strike. Or not to them. The rapture has started. It's a mystery until it is revealed. The apocalypse. Praise the Lord. So those are the seven spirits that God was going to use. The seven moves that he was going to move during the seven church ages. Up till when he will finish everything with the day of the Lord. And to come and take over the rulership of the earth. And wipe away all ungodliness from this earth. And take over and bring us to enjoy this earth. Oh, praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We need to know the privilege that God has given us to know these things. And I'm not stopping us with knowledge, because it is this knowledge that has made me to be where I am today in my Christian faith. It is this knowledge that makes me to live faithful to God, that I will not defy this temple. Oh yes. That I'll live my life always checking myself. If I fall, I jump up, clean myself immediately and push on with him. There is something I know. I told you that Daniel was in a Babylonian captivity. But one thing he knew was that they were not going to stay there forever. Church, one of these days, this church will end. There is a promise of the rapture. Hallelujah. And if there is a promise that all this nonsense that Satan is doing, it will end one day. It is in the Bible. Where will it end? It's in the Bible. The Bible says, Daniel understood by books. You have to study. Church, the coming of the Lord is in the Bible. God's agenda for salvation is in the Bible. Hallelujah. It's not going to come by anybody giving you prophecy like that. Everything is there. You can receive prophecy that you will die. That is your rapture. That is God calling you home. But I'm telling you, to say the end of the church ages and the rapture, the resurrection of the dead, the coming of the Lord to carry us home, nobody knows. But how will we know? It's in the Bible. It's a process. Daniel understood by books. How? Suddenly, he began to calculate. Jeremiah prophesied one time. It is that prophecy that came to pass. That God said, he will send the king of the Lord to come. Babylon, they will come and take us in captivity for 70 years. Hi, 70 years. So it's 70 years. Therefore, let me calculate. When were we here? When did it happen? He began to calculate. Suddenly, he discovered, as at the time he was studying, that they had spent 68 years already. So, according to that prophecy, it remained how many years? 2 years. Now, that knowledge will make him to be a different Jew from the other Jews who didn't know it. That is who the elect is, the bride of Jesus Christ. There's something we are busy doing now, trying to study the books. What did he say concerning the divine agenda? Where are we now? And you soon discover how close the time is. So that you will take your eternal destination more seriously. While you are looking for food to eat here, you will put in more effort now to be ready for home going. More than the time that John saw it. Because he saw it 2,000 years ago, and the Spirit was telling him the time is at hand. If the time was at hand 2,000 years ago, why will the Spirit be telling us now? See? That's why I said this is not to give us puff up our heads. It's to make you now to begin to dress yourself. That's all. That is all. Now take note from verse 12. He said, and I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. See the description. Clothed with a white white garment, and then describe it, gave it up to about sevenfold glory of Christ. And William Branham took time to explain what each of that appearance of Jesus Christ, what it meant. And I'm picking it from page 53 of the exposition of the seven church ages as preached by William Branham. And this is the way he put it. Number one, his hair as white as snow. He said, I'm reading, please pay attention. John first notices and mentions the whiteness of his hair. It was white and as bright as snow. This was not because of his age. Oh no. The brilliantly white hair does not signify age, but experience, maturity, and wisdom. The eternal one does not age. What is time to God? Time means little to God, but wisdom means much. It is as when Solomon called to God for wisdom to judge the people of Israel. Now, he is coming, the judge of all the earth. He will be crowned with wisdom. That is what the white and glistening hair signifies. See this in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 to 14. And he quoted, quote, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Unquote. There it is. Daniel saw him with that white hair. He was the judge, opening the books and judging out of them. Daniel saw him coming in clouds. That is exactly what John saw. They both saw him exactly the same. They saw the judge with his full judgment girdle over his shoulder, standing pure and holy, full of wisdom, fully qualified to judge the world in righteousness. Hallelujah. I say, even the world understands this symbology, for in ancient times, the judge will appear and convey court, dressed in a white wig and a long robe that signified his complete authority, head to foot robe to mete out justice. That is what he saw. His white, his hair white, and it's white as snow. That is what it signifies. Revelation is a book of symbol. The second thing that John saw as Jesus Christ appeared was his eyes were as fire. Then William Branham said, think of it. Those eyes that were once dimmed with tears of sorrow and pity. Those eyes that wept with compassion at the grave of Lazarus. Those eyes that saw not the evil of the murderers who hanged him on the cross, but in sorrow cried, Father, forgive them. Now those eyes are a flame of fire. The eyes of the judge who will recompense those who rejected him. He was appearing as a judge. He was a savior, but he's now coming soon as a judge. Of all the human emotions he manifested the most when he appeared as the Son of Man was this one. He wept awful. He wept. Yet, behind that weeping and that sorrow, there was still God. Those same eyes saw visions. They looked deep within the hearts of men and read their very thoughts and knew all their various ways. Blessing out of mortal eyes was God, who cried to those who knew him not for what he was, "If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." John 8:24. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do the works of my Father, he said, though you believe not, though you believe not to me, believe the works. That's John 10:37-38. And Jeremiah of old, he was the weeping prophet. For men receive not the word of God and thrust aside the revelation. Those very flaming eyes of the judge are even now recording the lives of all flesh. Running to and fro throughout the earth, there is nothing he does not know. He knows the desires of the heart and what each one intends to do. There is nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. For all things are naked before him with whom we have to do. Think of it. He knows even now what you are thinking. Yes, there he stands as judge with flaming eyes to mete out judgment. Here, the mercy, the day of mercy is over. Oh, that men might repent and seek his face in righteousness while there is yet time. That they might make his bosom their pillow before the world dissolves in fire. That is the eye that was with fire. That is the meaning. He saw him again, the Lord Jesus Christ, the feet of brass. This is the meaning. Brass is noted for its remarkable hardness. There is nothing that is known that you can put with it to temper it. But this brass that describes his feet is more remarkable yet in that it has stood the test of the fiery furnace, a test that no other one has gone through. And that is exactly right. For brass signifies divine judgment. A judgment that God decreed and brought to pass. John 3:14-19 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son unto the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Unquote. Again, Numbers 21:8-9 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he look upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld a serpent of brass, he lived." Unquote. Israel had sinned. Sin had to be judged. So God commanded Moses to place a brazen serpent on the pole, and he who looked was saved from the penalty of his sin. The brazen serpent on the pole symbolized sin from the Garden of Eden, where the serpent began if causing her to sin. Brass speaks of judgment as is seen in the brazen altar, where the penalty for sin was met in the sacrifice upon the altar. When God judged Israel for her sins in the days of Elijah, he withheld the rain and the fiery heavens became as brass. Now, in this illustration, we see that the serpent upon the pole represents sin already judged. But it is made of brass, showing divine judgment had already befallen upon sin. Then, whoever looked at the serpent on the pole, accepting the significance of it, was made whole. For this was the work or salvation of the Lord. The serpent on the pole is a type of what Jesus came into the earth to accomplish. He was made flesh in order to take upon himself the judgments of God for sin. The foundation of the altar of sacrifice was solid brass, typifying the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Judgment had already passed upon him when as yet there were no sinners. Salvation, being entirely of the Lord, He trod the wide press of the fierceness of the wrath of God alone. His virtues were dyed crimson with his own blood. The fiery furnace of the just judgment and wrath of God was his portion. He suffered the just for the unjust. Thou art worthy, O Lamb of God, for thou hast redeemed us by thy own blood. Unquote. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He suffered as no man had ever suffered. Even before the cross, he has shed great drops of sweat like blood from his body as in the intense agony of the ordeal. I heard the very blood separated in his veins. Luke 22:24 says, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And someday, those feet of brass will stand upon the earth, and the judge of all the earth he shall be. And with equity and perfection, he will judge mankind. And there will be no evading that judgment. No turning of that judgment, that justice. There will be no tampering of it. He that is unjust will be unjust still, and he that is filthy will be filthy still. The unchanging one will not change then, for he never has and never will. Those feet of brass will crush the enemy. They will destroy the Antichrist, the beast, and the image, and all that is vile in his sight. He will destroy the church systems that have taken his name only to corrupt his brilliance and crush them along with the Antichrist. All the wicked, the atheists, the agnostics, the modernists, the liberals will all be there. Death, hell, and the grave will be there. Yes, they will. For when he comes, the books will be open. That is when even the lukewarm church and the five foolish virgins will appear. He will separate the sheep from the goats. When he comes, he will take over the kingdom. For it is his, and with him will be the 1,000 times 10,000, his bride, who come to minister to him. Glory! Oh, it is now or never. Repent before it is too late. Wake up from among the dead and seek God to be filled with the Spirit, or you will miss eternal life. Do it now while there is time. This is William Branham speaking. The fourth thing he sees there, his voice was as the sound of many waters. Now, what do the waters represent? William Branham is speaking. Here it is, Revelation 17 verse 15. The waters which thou sowest are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. His voice was as the sound of multitudes speaking. What is it? It is the judgment. For these are the voices of the multitude of witnesses who by the Holy Spirit all through the ages have testified to Christ and preached his gospel. Hey. It will be the voice of every man rising in judgment against the sinner, including my voice. Including my voice, so. Who will not take warning? The voices of the seven messengers will be heard loud and clear. Those faithful preachers who preach the saving power of Jesus, who preach water baptism in Jesus' name, who preach the infilling and power of the Holy Ghost, who stood with the word more than they stood with their own lives, all of them were the voice of Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost down through the ages. John 17:20 says, neither pray I for this alone, when he was praying for his disciples, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Unquote. Have you ever thought how terrifying it is to a man drifting helplessly towards a cataract? Think now of that roar as he approaches his sure and certain doom. And just exactly like that is coming the day of judgment, when the roar of the multitude of voices condemns you for not having paid heed before it was too late. Take heed this very hour, for at this moment your thoughts are being recorded in heaven. There your thoughts speak louder than your words. Like the Pharisee who claimed so much with his mouth, but not listening to the word, his heart became corrupt, and even until it was too late, even now, this could be your last call to hear the word and receive it unto eternal life. It will be too late when you approach the roar of the many voices of judgment and doom. But have you ever noticed How sweet and relaxing the sound of water can be. I like to fish. I like to find a spot where the water is whispering ripples. I can just lie back and hear it speaking peace and joy and contentment to my heart. How glad I am to be anchored in the haven of rest, where the voice of the Lord speaks peace as the word of the waters of separation are declared. How thankful we should be to hear his voice of love and care and guidance and protection. And someday, we will hear that same sweet voice speak, not in judgment, but in welcome to us whose sins have been remitted by his blood, whose lives have been spirit-filled, and whose work was in the word. What could be more precious than to hear the multitude of welcoming voices and be surrounded by those multitudes who have believed unto eternal life? Oh, there is nothing like it. I pray that you will hear his voice and harden not your heart, but receive him as your king. Oh, if you will only see it. It was the waters that destroyed the world. But it was the same waters that saved Noah and also saved the whole earth for Noah. Listen to his voice, the voice of his servants, as it calls to repentance and life. Praise the Lord. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Now, of course, we already know from verse 20 what the seven stars actually are. Verse 20 says, and the mystery of the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Now, we couldn't make a mistake here on any account. Praise the Lord. Please, try to get it, to read it. What the seven stars refer to in his right hand are the star messengers for every church age. And he also had the two-edged sword. What is the two-edged sword that he had in his hand? The word of God. That is what God battles with. It is written. It is written. Praise the Lord. And number seven was, his face was like the sun. Praise the Lord. In his glorified estate. Signifying his glory. So, as we shall be looking at, as we are looking at the introductory part that of this revelations that were given to John in the Isle of Patmos, we will see, praise the Lord, that the unveiling here, unveiling the apocalypse that was this, something God was revealing and opening, hallelujah, will include the gates of hell that Jesus spoke about. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. It was John he revealed to what those gates of hell were all about. The three symbolic women, what they meant. He's talking about three churches, three groups of churches that had something to do within these seven church ages. He will also be revealing how Israel will be restored. He will be revealing the tribulation that was ahead. Hallelujah. That was coming to Israel. After they have been restored and they have accepted Christ, they are going to face serious tribulation. And we shall see that the great tribulation is not for us. God revealed it to John the Apostle. And the events that will precede, that will precede the coming of the Lord, he was going to expose it in this book of Revelation. There are events before the coming of the Lord, things that will happen, which nobody should know. He revealed them, but in symbols. Revelation is a book of symbols. Things that will happen before the coming of the Lord, coming to reign the 1,000 years. Things that will happen through Christ, things that will happen also through Satan, the Antichrist. And then it will show the end of Satan and all his followers. Then he's showing us the new Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So, the purpose of the book of Revelation is to show to his servants, according to him in verse 1, things which must shortly come to pass. He said, must shortly come to pass. And there are things which thou hast seen, John. Things which you have seen. When did he see them? Because he said he should write them. things which he has seen. That's why he wrote all these epistles. He saw something. Things which are the ones that were present around him that he was seeing, praise the Lord. And things which shall be hereafter, prophetically, things that hereafter. And the purpose of the book of Revelation is because the time is at hand. Praise the Lord. The time is short. The time is at hand. And that's why we too, knowing that we are at the end of the end, we must also know this revelation. For we are those this book of Revelation was meant for. And may it give you reason, therefore, after God gives us the grace to go through it. It is one thing for us, for me as a person, to read and understand. But the ability to convey it comes from him. I covet your prayers. Pray that God will give me the ability to present what he has caused me to understand. And may it be the reason for you to stand and call yourself the bride. Because you will take heed. Those prophecies are to make you to be watchful. May the Lord bless you all. Can we stand up? Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Blessed in my hands, thou wonderful King, thou shalt unclasp and set me free. Oh, silently now, I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to
open my eyes,
open my eyes, illumine me. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to know some of these things. It's a great privilege. Not many have known this, but because you propose that the elect from everywhere, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached, then the end will come. You said it will preach to the whole world. We are wondering how, when there are in Saudi Arabia, in so many other Arab nations, and some of these Hindu places, and Shinto places in China, it's even an offense to be seen holding the Bible. How will it be preached? Then you suddenly gave us this platform. The internet streaming that no government can control like that. You took the gospel to the people in their city rooms. Lord, because the time has come. The end is here. Use this message, Holy Ghost, and gather your elect. Pull them out of error. Get them dressed for the home going. In the name of Jesus Christ.